Today, I'd like to talk with you about the Holy Spirit and ask especially this question, is he real to you?
Absolutely.
Notice I didn't say, is he real? I said, is he real to you in your life? And do you experience the Holy Spirit as you go through your days? Or, you know, does he just seem like a theological concept? Because, you know, our doctrine of our denomination, we're very doctrinally focused. Is he just a doctrinal concept that's written down on paper that you agree to and say, yep, that's the Holy Spirit, and go on? Or do you experience him as you go through each day, and marvelously so? Let's take a look and see what God would teach us about that today by his word, the Bible, so that we can be encouraged in the faith. First, is the Holy Spirit a real person, or is he just a theological concept? A lot of denominations, and I think ours too to a certain degree, that are so into the doctrine that we feel that if we just write down what we should say about the Holy Spirit, that we've got him. And so we've captured the Holy Spirit, and that's good enough. Is that good enough? It's important to have right doctrine about the Holy Spirit, but why is that not enough? Answer is because he's a real person. He's more than just the right words written down on paper that you check off and say, I agree with that. He is a real living person, and therefore we want to have a real living, vibrant relationship with the Spirit as Christians. We don't want to just give him, you know, a little nod and a wink and say, close the book, we're done. We want to have a living, breathing relationship with a real Spirit, God's Spirit. Is he a real person? Let's take a look and see how he's described here in Acts chapter 13. We read there that while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Now, if you look at that, it says, set apart for me the works to which I have called them. Those are personal pronouns. And also, you see, he's speaking here. The Holy Spirit speaks. He makes judgments on things. He decides. He orders. He directs. Set apart for them that they might go on mission. He's a person. If you look at the scriptures, the Holy Spirit can be grieved. We're not supposed to grieve the Holy Spirit. He can also rejoice. The Holy Spirit can. The scriptures say he searches things. He empowers. He encourages. He teaches. He leads. He comforts. He guides. He counsels. These are all things that a person does. And so we can't capture him just by pen and ink. As much as it's important to have the right doctrine, we need to know him in truth. We want, therefore, to have a living relationship, breathing, so that every day you come in here and each day you are filled with the Holy Spirit and rejoicing. Ah, it's so great to have him in my life and to see him working. Well, who is this person that we want to be in a relationship with, the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit, who is he? He's God's own Spirit. That's what the Bible says. God the Father's own Spirit. In Romans 8, he's called the Spirit of Christ. So he's Christ's own Spirit as well. And he is God. Because if you look there at Peter, and remember Ananias and Sapphira? They had a big problem, didn't they? They decided they'd lie to the Holy Spirit. Peter says to them, you've not lied to the Holy Spirit. You've lied to the Holy Spirit. You've lied not to men, but to God. And so he is God with the Father and the Son. This is the one that we're going to have, and we have a relationship with, and who we want to grow in today. How long has he been active? Do you want him active in your life? Would you love to see him super active in your life? How long has he been active in the lives of men in this world? Well, he's God, so he's been from forever. He was around at the beginning of creation, when the earth was without form and void, darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering, moving over the face of the waters. He was there down through the days of the Old Testament. Remember, it was by the Spirit that David stood up against Goliath. And the Spirit had anointed Saul. He also spoke by the mouths of the prophets from of old to give us this book, his word. As Peter says, men carried along by the Holy Spirit, they spoke from God. He was very active in the life of Jesus. If you remember, when he was being conceived, the angel Gabriel said to Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. He was there at Jesus' baptism. Very active, note, when he came down in bodily form as a dove. He was very active when Jesus went into the wilderness. We read Luke 4, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit for 40 days in the wilderness, tempted by the devil. And then verse 14, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. When Jesus died on the cross for our salvation, do you know that that was by the Spirit he did that? By the Holy Spirit? For Romans 8 says, or sorry, Hebrews 9 says, Christ through the eternal Spirit, offered himself without blemish to God. And who raised Jesus? According to Romans 8, verse 11, the Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. So would you say active? I would say he's been super active in the lives of people in this world. And he wants to be super active in your life and mine. But how are our days different from those of our ancestors that I just talked about? The David and Saul and the prophets of old. Answer? Far better. Far better. That's what we're celebrating at Pentecost. Far better. Jesus says that when he was going to die and go up to be with the Father, this is John chapter 14. Let's just read what Jesus said to the apostles. He said, "There I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and he will be in you." Does that sound better to you, Greg? David, with the Spirit, stood forth and struck down Goliath. He only had him with him, though. We have the Spirit inside of us. That's what is the promise. And who do we get inside of us? Lynn, who do we get inside of us? The counselor, Jesus says here. Wouldn't you like a counselor?
Yes.
Yeah, that'd be pretty nice. He's called the word is parakletos in the Greek, which means counselor, a comforter, a guide, a teacher, a leader, an encourager, a helper, a friend. This is the one that you have in you, Jesus says. So how do you receive the Holy Spirit? Do you have the Holy Spirit? Is the Holy Spirit inside of you right now? How do you get the Holy Spirit? Well, the scripture says for us several ways for us that we can receive the Holy Spirit. They're all really one, but they go together. Acts chapter 2, this is the day of Pentecost. That's when God poured his Holy Spirit down upon the apostles. They went out and preached. And after Peter was done preaching, we read that they were cut to the heart. The crowd was cut to the heart. They were pricked. They were hurt. They were like, "We've killed the Christ." "Brothers, what shall we do?" they said to the apostles. And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So how do you receive the Holy Spirit according to that verse? Well, they repented, and then they were baptized. And in that, Peter says, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, to all who are far off, to everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. Have you repented of your sins? That is, turned from God, your sins to Christ? Have you been baptized? This is the way you receive the Holy Spirit. And included in that, number two, is faith. It's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that receives the Holy Spirit. Because we read over here in Galatians, let me open up to Galatians, turn into Galatians chapter 3, verse 2. Paul says, "Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Which one is it, Alice? By works of the law or by hearing with faith? By hearing with faith. That's how you receive the Holy Spirit. It goes along with repent and be baptized. You're calling on the name of Jesus Christ. In other words, you're believing on him. You're hearing about Jesus, his gospel, and believing, you receive the Holy Spirit. Do you qualify so far? Do you have the Holy Spirit inside of you? This is how you receive him. And then the scripture also throws out to us one other way sometimes in Acts chapter 19. Turn over there. We read that Paul was at Ephesus and he found there some disciples. And he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, no. Now he's perplexed at this because you're supposed to receive him at that belief, at faith. They said, no, we've never even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Obviously, they're not too well educated. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? Notice he relates it to baptism. You should have received them at your baptism. What were you baptized into then? And they said, into John's baptism, John the Baptist. In other words, they were disciples, but they didn't yet have the full knowledge of Jesus Christ or had been baptized in his name. So what's Paul do? He knows the problem. Now I see the problem. Let's remedy that. He says, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who is to come after him, that is Jesus. So he points them to Christ. And on hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them. And they were spoke with tongues and prophesied. So there you have repentance, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, baptized, and then at the laying on of his hands, all in that one event, super power of the Spirit enters in and they speak. Notice whenever the Spirit comes in, you often are seeing the manifestations of words overflowing from the heart of praise to God. So those are the ways that you have the Holy Spirit. Do you have the Holy Spirit? We don't want to go further until you have the Holy Spirit. Do you have the Holy Spirit? All right. What's it like, though, to have him in our lives? What is it like to have the Spirit at work in you? How do you experience him? Well, Jesus says he's a parakletos. He's a counselor, comforter, teacher, guide, leader, encourager, helper, friend. Do you experience those things?
Yes.
How does he manifest himself to us, the Holy Spirit? I mean, he speaks to you. Do you have the Holy Spirit actually speak to you? It says he speaks to you. He leads you. How is he going to lead you, teach you, guide you, comfort you if he doesn't talk? You ever go on a date and like nobody says anything? That's not really a good date, is it? Okay, let's not get into that. He encourages, he helps you to experience these things. He empowers you. But understand this, the way he works in us is not in a way that you see him visibly. And not the way you hear him audibly, although he can do that. And not that you touch him tangibly. But he works in a way that though you don't see him visibly, you see him. In a way that you don't hear him audibly, yet you hear him. And that though you don't touch him tangibly, you touch him. And you're touched by him. I don't know if you've experienced this. Sometimes I even feel at times, rarely, but occasionally, like when I think on a thought from him, like I'll have a jolt through my body of righteousness. I can just feel. I know that was a righteous, like electricity. Not often I get that, but on occasion. So how does he work in a real way so that you really experience him and experience that in your life? Let me give you, and this is going to be brief, but 7 ways briefly, and that'll be the end of the sermon. No, it will be brief. Don't worry. Number one, he is real in your life because he sends you preachers to preach to you the truth of God. And thereby, he speaks to you. Actually, even in this case, with an audible voice. He's speaking to you right now through me. Where do we hear that? Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said to the apostles, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And so he gives them the Holy Spirit so that they would go out as true preachers to speak the truth to the people, that the Spirit would speak through them to the people. Does the Holy Spirit speak to you?
Yes.
And can you hear him? He's speaking to you right now through the preaching of the word. If I'm giving to you this book, the words in accordance with the scriptures, you're hearing the Holy Spirit. That's fantastic. He's active in your life. And therefore, don't skip out on church to go to your bed to the comforter there. That's not the comforter that God's talking about when he says there's a holy comforter given to you. It is the words of the true preacher that are there to comfort, to counsel, to teach, to guide, to lead, to encourage you in the truth in Jesus, that you may enter into the kingdom on the last day by the man whom he sends. A real powerful work of God. That's number one. We're already done with one. Here's number two. He empowers your ears to hear and understand and discern the message that is preached. The word and the truth of God. Does everybody that hears the word preached understand it? No, I had a guy, actually a young man came into our church this week. And he was telling me that he used to recently worship the gods of the Vikings. And then he eventually realized they were evil spirits and he got out of it. But he says, now I'm free. He says, I'm free from all religion. And I told him, you're not so free as you think you are. Because Jesus said, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. But if the Son makes you free, you'll be free indeed. I said to him, you need Jesus Christ. And did he believe that? Did he accept that? I was speaking by the Spirit, and he did not understand what I spoke to him because he did not have the Holy Spirit. He left cordially, but he left. He resisted the work of the Spirit. But how about you guys? Do you understand that? Do you believe that you're slaves of sin and that you've been set free in Jesus Christ? That's because you have the Holy Spirit. We read in the Bible, the unspiritual man doesn't receive the gifts of the Spirit of God because they're folly to him. He's not able to understand them because they're spiritually discerned. But the spiritual man, we have received the Spirit not of the world, but the Spirit which is from God, that we might understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. So are you understand what I'm telling you right now? You understand me?
Yeah.
If you're understanding and you're grasping these things, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. He's active in your life. He's alive and it's real. Thirdly, he empowers you to wage the good warfare against the spirit that's in the world. For like I just read there, we've not received the spirit of the world, but we have received the spirit which is from God. That you can stand up like David did by the spirit against Goliath, that great giant, and strike it down. You by the spirit can stand up against the spirit that's in the world and not back down, not give in and go in with it, but strike it down. What's the spirit that's in the world? The spirit of Antichrist. You're right, Michael. It's the spirit of Antichrist. That's why the world is so googly eyes about slaying of innocent children called abortion. They think that's great. Or, you know, other wrongdoings or false gods or wrong beliefs. The reason they love those things is because it's another spirit that's in the world. But by the spirit that's inside of you, you stand and wage the good warfare against it. And even when you're given an opportunity to witness to the world, the spirit gives you the words. You ever been in a situation where you're like, you know you need to share something about Christ with these people, but you're like, I have no idea what to say. Just go ahead with it, because what does Jesus say? They're going to bring you up to trials and deliver you up. But don't be anxious what you're to say beforehand. But say whatever is given you in that hour, for it's not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Raise your hand if you've experienced that in your life, or you're witnessing to somebody, and you're like, I don't know what to say, but all of a sudden the best words come out of your lips that you didn't even think of, you couldn't have thought of if it was your life depended on it, and yet here they flow as if you've dreamed and known them your whole life. The Holy Spirit is active and alive in your life. And you experience it. It's so fun to experience that. Number four, he's there to encourage and empower our prayer life when we pray to God. The Bible says, Romans 8, says the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit, He intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. Isn't that beautiful? You go to sleep, before you go to sleep, you pray tonight, and your prayers are not as great as you think they should be, like we all kind of feel, but the Spirit inside of you takes those and magnifies them and brings them up to God with sighs that are too deep for words. And the Holy God hears the words of His Spirit, which God has taken your prayers and interpreted them and empowers them. He's active in your life to empower them and in your prayers. When we cry, Abba, Father, Paul says, that's the Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we're children of God and co-heirs with Christ of all things. So whenever you say, Father, that's the Spirit inside of you saying, look, you're a child. You're a child of God. Don't deny it. You are His child. You're a co-heir with Christ of all things. Be encouraged. And you ever start praying or get to a point in prayer, you're like, what else should I pray for? God, what should I pray for? And all of a sudden, a picture comes to your mind of somebody or a situation or a word or a thought. Pray for this. Who's that giving that to you? It's the Spirit putting it on your mind most often. And then you talk to the person later on in the day and they're like, how did you know I had a problem? I was going through a problem. How did you know? It came to me in prayer. It's the Spirit. He's at work. This is so exciting. Do you ever listen to God though in your prayers? Set a little time aside to listen. Don't just talk to Him. That'd be maybe a boring date. He also empowers us to conquer sin. That's number 5. Let's read this one right out of the scriptures here in Romans chapter 8. I want to open because this is just super key, super important. It says, to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Do you want to conquer sins? Do you want to get rid of fears? Do you want to get rid of anxieties and doubts in your life? Do you set your mind on the Spirit or on the flesh? For the mind that's set on the flesh is hostile to God. It doesn't submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But we read those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Who are you setting your mind on for most of the day? You know, a lot of us, even as Christians, here's a super key point I want to make. You will experience as much of the Holy Spirit as you seek Him. A lot of times we're not seeking the Holy Spirit or setting our minds on the things of the Spirit, so how much are you going to experience Him? Little. But if you start setting your mind on the Spirit, like Paul says right there in the Bible, and we set our minds on that, you're going to experience Him much. And He's so deep of a fountain that the deeper you go, there's more and more to experience. You try to conquer troubles and sins in your life by just thinking about, oh, I can do it. The will of my power, the will of my strength, the will of my own will. No, 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 no. Set your mind on the Spirit and He'll make these other things just fall away. You'll fly up above them. Set your mind on the Spirit. He gives us victory. That's number 5. Number 6 of 7. He empowers us by leading us. Let me open and read that again. Romans chapter 8, this time it's verse 14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Are you led by the Spirit of God daily? How does He lead us through our lives? Well, on the one hand, sometimes He sets up roadblocks to make sure we don't go in certain ways He doesn't want us to go. I might look over here at the book of Acts, chapter 16, where verse 7 says, you know, they were passing through Phrygia, Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. That's interesting. I don't want you speaking over there. I have another place for you. All right. And when they come opposite Mysia and attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. What is happening? They're getting roadblocks. You can't go this way. Has God ever do that with you?
It's like praying for patience.
Yeah. I think on my life, how did I get to be your preacher? There were so many roadblocks. Like I was being a captain up in Maine on a schooner and I just lost a job because I couldn't continue the whole season. And they wanted someone for the whole season. Lost it. That sent me to seminary, to being a pastor. Then I went several different seminaries. 7 years time, and eventually somehow you needed a pastor just as I was graduating. Was that the Holy Spirit? That was the Holy Spirit. Roadblocks. It's one way he leads us. Another way is the next verse is he actually talks to you. A vision appeared to Paul in the night, a man of Macedonia, standing beseeching him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And so they determined that was where the Spirit wanted him to go. And he made himself known in a vision, in a dream of the night, or in a word spoken personally. And lastly, number 7, here we are. He empowers us, the Holy Spirit does, by speaking to us personally a word to encourage us. Does he ever do that with you? Do you listen for him? Paul was saying, I got a thorn in my flesh, Lord, and he heard by the Spirit, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. So encouraging. You ever get that? You know, there are certain people that say that God doesn't speak anymore to anyone by his Spirit, a personal word, and you're to avoid that at all costs. But I want to ask a question about that one. Where is that in Scripture? Where does it say, what verse says, God spoke then, but he's not going to speak now? By the way, the same people that will say that the Spirit does not speak to you anymore personally also will very clearly admit that the devil speaks to you by putting thoughts into your mind to tempt you, but the Holy Spirit, no, he doesn't talk with you. What's the sense of that? How are you going to get counsel, comfort, encouragement, teaching if he's not speaking to you? But we've got to test these things. Anytime you hear something, if you seek and listen, it could be one of three people, the devil, or yourself, or the Holy Spirit. So you got to test that to see who it is. Let me give you a little test here. Just a little while ago, I remember I was discouraged one day as I was like, Lord, I've been pastor at this church for nearly 14 years, and there's hardly that many more people here than I started 14 years ago. And as I'm praying, you know what I heard? Very clearly, not audibly, but I heard clearly the words in my mind. I heard, that's not your job. Your job is to plant and water, mine to give the growth. And that's all I heard. What, is that scriptural? That's straight out of 1 Corinthians 3. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So it's scriptural. And what did God do in this? Is I got relieved of this huge weight that is my responsibility to make the numbers increase. It's not my job, God says. You're overreaching. Your job, Greg, is to plant and water. In other words, give them the word, give them the word, give them the word. Water and nurture, and let me take care of the results. That was so encouraging to me. It just seemed to say, Spirit saying, go and preach, Greg, and be encouraged. Now, let's test that. Is the devil saying that to me? He doesn't want me to preach. That's probably not him. Is it me who said that? Could have been. I might have thought that up myself, but then again, it totally took me by surprise. I never thought of that before. I believe it was the Holy Spirit. Encouraged me to preach. And it is so exciting. So extremely exciting to see him active and real and saying, Greg, I have a word for you personally to encourage you in me. I believe he'll do that for you as well. For Jesus said, the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Usually when I listen for the Lord, usually all I hear is scripture, 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 being reminded of it and applied to me personally, saying, this is a scripture for you now, Greg, and I didn't even think of it, but it applies to me. That's the Spirit. He'll do it for you. For Isaiah says, though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teacher will not hide himself anymore. For your eyes will see your teacher, and your ears will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it when you turn to the right hand or to the left. In these and many ways, other ways, he has felt and heard and seen and experienced in our lives. And we can rejoice not only in what he's doing, but what he will do. Jesus says, when he comes, he'll glorify me because he's going to take what's mine and declare it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine, says Jesus, and the Holy Spirit will take what's mine and give it to you. Amen.